everyone, welcome to the SpNP webcast. The topic of today's webcast is on how you can contribute to PNP. So contribution can be in many ways, ranging from small documentation or issues that you log up until creating real fixes for the code. My name is Bert Jansen. I'm a service engineer working for Microsoft, and with me today I have Vesa Juvenen.
Thank you, Bert. My name is Vesa Juvenen. I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 engineering as well. And just to be clear, we're obviously, even though the title is how to contribute to PNP, it's around Office development PNP, not the .NET PNP, which is a slightly different topic.
Yeah, but that's the very old thing. This is the shiny yes. New great PNP.
At least for Office guys. Yes, absolutely.
For Office guys, yes. Alrighty. So contributing to PNP, you can do that in different flavors. I think the first step, and already a contribution in our perspective, is if you use our samples, the PNP core component, our guidance, our webcasts, everything that is produced via the PNP community, if you use it, that's already a big win. Share it with your customers. Feel free to reuse it across your projects for your customers, use it, great. Now, if you use it, you would typically also have some questions around, or you might see some issues. So for that, we have two channels. We have a Yammer group, which you can find via http://ak.ms/officedevpnpyammer. This is a very vibrant, active Yammer group with 4,000 plus developer-oriented folks together, helping each other out on Office 365 and SharePoint development questions. So for questions, go check out that group. Now, if you have found an issue, which is not really like a question, but really like you can pinpoint something goes wrong, it's more recommended to create an issue in our issue list. So each individual GitHub repository has its own issue list in which you can create issues. PNP is comprised of several repositories, so we will have several individual issue lists, but typically you create an issue in the list that kind of belongs to the repository where you took the code from. So if you have an issue with a core component, you create it in the PNP size core repository. If it's just a regular PNP sample, you create it in the PNP sample repository.
And on this one, I think the best thing is actually to have a first, maybe a discussion in Yammer pinpointing that, well, I can't make X and Y and Z work. Is this a bug or is this an issue? And then there will be Microsoft people and community people in Yammer actively discussing about that issue. It might be that it's a configurational issue in your environment. It might be that you're using a wrong set of CSUN or a whatever. And then we can solve that immediately. But if it's clearly, like Bert said, if it's clearly a bug, something isn't working properly, then the issue list in GitHub is the right thing to do.
Yep. That's right. Thanks for pointing it out, Vesa. That indeed this is absolutely makes a lot of sense. So not every issue is a bug. Correct. All right, moving on. So I hope by now you get a feel about PNP and you saw the value, you used it, and you think about, oh, I have this great idea that I want to contribute, and we would love to take your contributions. So contributions can be any form, like we put on the slide, new samples or documentation, but it can also be like small updates to existing samples or existing documentation. All your contributions are welcome. So we would love you to contribute, because it's a project driven by the community for the community. So your contribution will make a big impact for all the others consuming the PNP materials.
Yeah, and on that one, even though we're saying create new samples, create documentation, it's actually, we would prefer that we are enhancing the existing ones rather than, let's say, have a pretty similar sample which is pretty close to what's already there, and then that is causing a lot of confusion. Why is there two samples which are overlapping? So rather than implementing pretty close what's already there, modifying existing samples and fine-tuning them based on whatever the thinking and feedback you might have is absolutely even a preferred option rather than creating new samples.
Yes, if there's an existing sample, that makes much more sense to extend it. And you can use dev.office.com to search across our samples and to find if there is an existing one that is closely related to what you want to do. Or you can use the Yammer group to ask feedback about your ID. Like if you have an ID, you have some doubts about how to contribute it, whether it should be a new sample or update to an existing one, you can always reach out to us via the Yammer group to ask for some feedback and some guidance.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then a final category, which is very closely related to the previous category, of course, is actually fixing issues. From a technical perspective, on the way how you contribute it, it's the same technology, the same approach to contribute code, whether it's a new sample or an updated sample or a fix to a to an existing component. But obviously, we would really also like you to fix things. If you see a bug and via the Yammer group discussion, other people confirm, like, this is a bug and you have a good way to fix it, please do so. We're really happy to take your fixes.
Absolutely, and it's a good reminder on the things that there is no, technically there's no such thing as a BNP team, even though, well, we are a virtual team in the core team, and yes, we work quite closely with a smaller group as a core team accepting the pull requests. But the thing is that there's no full-time employees in BNP. This is a community work together with the community, building practices and models based on the real-world feedback, which means that contributing back or fixing the issues and submitting them as pull requests is beneficial for all of us, no doubt.
Now, when you want to leverage BNP, just use it, or want to extend it by creating or updating existing samples or fixing issues, in all those cases, you will need to work with GitHub, because GitHub is the platform on which we host our source code. And depending on how you want to contribute, you have two different flavors of to deal with GitHub. If you're just intend to use our components, our code, and then provide feedback via the Yammer group or the issue list, it's enough for you to pull down the code, typically via a git clone command, and we'll dive into that in upcoming slides. If you however want to contribute something, any change that you want to push back to us, to the BNP core team, for inclusion into BNP, for any type of change that you want to contribute, you would need to create a pull request. And again, we will dive into that later on. Actually, we will even show you how to set up your complete environment and create your first pull request in this demo.
And a quick comment around the GitHub. I know that there's a lot of, especially in SharePoint, especially in Office development, there's a lot of people who are used to use TFS and even Visual Studio Source. What was it? Visual Studio Source Safe.
Source Shredder.
Yes, but GitHub is slightly different. So we absolutely understand that there is a small learning curve, but there's great guidance also in the Office Dev BNP in our wiki, and also this video is hopefully helping people to get started. The mentality is slightly different, but it does make a lot of sense. And we can't really build a community on top of TFS. And even we used to use CodePlex when BNP was called Office Application Model Samples, but even with that one, it doesn't work that well with the open community cross-organizational work together with community. So the GitHub actually works quite nicely with that one, and it has the tooling to accept and submit these pull requests. So it's a great platform for the community-driven work.
Yes, absolutely. Which also, you talked about tooling, which kind of is a nice transition into the next topic. What tools do I need to work with GitHub? And for first, I would like to really mention that Visual Studio has excellent GitHub support built in. So if you're not a command line guy, you can do most of actually all of your GitHub work using Visual Studio. Typical things like committing changes, creating a new clone, looking at the change history, doing a merge, even dealing with merge conflicts, creating and deleting branches, all of that is available from Visual Studio. Visual Studio even offers like a command line prompt. So if you would like to switch to command line, that's an option as well. So great support in there. Recommended to use that one. Now in my daily life, I use two additional tools. And one is Git for Windows, which I essentially use for its command line. So what I like to be able to do is just open a PowerShell session and type Git something and do my thing in command line. And Git for Windows brings me that command line. So I simply grab C program files slash git slash cmd and put that in the path environment variable. And at that point, I can have Git support everywhere, any shell in my environment. On top of Git for Windows, we typically also use Tortoise Git, which is an excellent shell integration. So it brings Git support into Windows Explorer, which means that you can navigate your Git repository, see all the individual folders, the files you see for each file, whether the file was changed, whether it was a new file. You can right click on a folder or on a file. You can commit the changes. Kind of a nice tool to work with Git. If you have those three tools together, you have an excellent setup to work with GitHub. But obviously, there are also other open source or commercial tools that work with GitHub. This is what most of the core team are using, but everyone can kind of use the tools that they feel comfortable with. There is not like the one tool that is the best, but this is a combination that seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I personally, the Tortoise Git is a brilliant tool to manipulate things as well. But Visual Studio is catching up quite fast as well. And there's all the time updates on the GitHub tooling in Visual Studio, which is great to see.
Yep. The support really improved and yep, we're doing the right things, I think. Now, when you only want to use PNP, the PNP code, you want to pull down the code somehow. You want to grab the code because you want to open it in Visual Studio, build it, deploy it, test it, whatever. There are two ways to do so. The most basic, easy option is to use the download zip option, which is available in GitHub. So if you go to repository, you can select a branch. At the left side, you see that we selected the dev branch. So you pick the branch that you want. And then you click on download zip and you will get a snapshot of the current situation in a big zip file. You pull it down, you extract it, and you have all the code over there. Works fine if that's what you need. However, if you want a refreshable copy on your local file system, I would recommend using the Git clone approach. What Git clone will do is essentially it will also pull down all the source code to your local file system, but it's a refreshable copy. So what will we do? Essentially, you create somewhere a folder, like in this case, folder named GitHub. Then we issue git clone, and we give the address of the Git repository. The address is something that you find here on top. If you go to the GitHub site, you see this address over here. You copy it, you paste it in here, and then you give it a name for the local folder. So if I do git clone in this command slash in the PNP folder, I get a folder under C GitHub slash PNP with all the source code. And if I navigate into that folder, I can then do a git pull, which will refresh it. So if there's a change server side, you issue git pull, you pull down all the new stuff, which gives you like an updated version without having to download the complete zip package again. All right, let's move on to the actual contribution. So how do I contribute? How do I give, how can I push my changes into GitHub, into the PNP community? That's a similar approach, but there's some additional steps to take an account. So if you want to contribute, it's mandatory for you to have create a forked repository of the actual repository that you want to contribute to. So for example, if you want to contribute to the PNP repository, you need to fork the PNP repository. A fork is like creating a copy. It's really, at that point, the GitHub site will copy the main PNP repository into your account, and you have a setting over there. It's very easy to do because it's a matter of one click on the fork button, and you're there. It's done for you. It takes just a few seconds, and it's ready. Now, fork is a copy, and if the PNP repository, the main PNP repository, so the blue guy over here, if that's changing, which happens on a daily basis, your copy isn't updated. You have no way to refresh your copy, which is kind of annoying if you want to develop something and push it back. So for that, we recommend to add the additional below steps to make your fork also refreshable. So we start with first pulling down your forked repository. Then, which is similar to the previous git clone command actually, then we do a git remote and we add a link to the upstream repository. So actually we connect both repositories. And this main one, this blue one, will then be called upstream. We fetch information about upstream, so essentially telling your local copy like what's available in upstream. And then we check out the upstream dev branch into your local copy. So which results in you having a dev branch, which is connected to the dev branch of the main repository. So you can always pull down changes from that dev branch into your main repository.
I think actually this one is the most difficult thing to understand within the GitHub, that whenever we fork, we actually take a snapshot of that particular time.
Yeah.
And we don't, your fork is not automatically getting up to date on what happens in the source repository. You need to do certain commands, and you can absolutely automate that using commandlets or whatever tooling, but it doesn't keep on updating your fork automatically. And that's why we need to have this remote or upstream connection between your copy. So you're able to always pull down the latest from the source repository and then push them to your copy, and then you're in sync of what's happening actually in the original source.
Yes, and that's indeed a confusing part for GitHub. We learned some lessons while doing this. But essentially, if you follow these instructions, it's a one-time setup, and then you're good for your fork, meaning you don't have to do this each time again. It's a one-time thing.
Yes, as long as you keep on updating or pulling down the latest in the source and then pushing them to your local copy, you'll be fine. Yep.
Now, some additional best practices for creating your first pull request. So previous steps, you all set up your fork, it's connected to the main repo, everything is great, and you could start writing code into the dev branch from your forked repository. However, that's not really something that we would recommend, because it is better to isolate individual fixes, individual additions into it in their own branches, which allows you to later on create a separate pull request per fix. So how do you do that then? Actually, it's fairly simple. You create a branch per change that you want to do. So in this case, we have a fix for the timer job framework. So we create a branch via git checkout minus b timer job fix dev, which creates the timer job fix branch started from the dev branch. And we push the branch to the server. So if you create a branch, it's created in your local offline copy of your forked repository. But in order to be able to create a pull request later on, that information needs to end up in the server. So with git push minus minus set dash upstream origin time job fix, where time job fix is a branch name, you push that new branch to the server. Once you've done that, you're ready to go. You can start hacking. You can make any change, add new code, update code, fix things, whatever that you want to do. You do it. At a certain point, you're ready. You tested your stuff. It works. And you want to commit it. So use the tool of your choice. In this case, the sample is showing Visual Studio. Typically, I would right-click the solution or the project and say commit. It will show you all the changes. You give a nice commit message and you hit on the commit button. And the change is ready to be pushed to the repo. So once you have pushed the change to the repo, the final step is there, is creating the pull request. So you go to your forked repository, you pick the branch that you want to create a pull request for, like damage or fix in this case in this screenshot, and you hit on the big green button. No way to miss the big green button, so click on that one. It will by default show you a comparison between the Office Dev PnP master branch and your damage or fix branch in this case, which is a wrong default. So because we only accept pull requests which are targeting our dev branch. So essentially it means that when you create a pull request, you have to flip this guy from master to dev. Because a pull request is nothing more than a live comparison across two branches, across the damage or fix branch compared to our dev branch. So all the changes that you added on top of our dev branch are part of the pull request.
And on that one, actually, this is probably a good clarification on that one, though. You've mentioned that we don't accept changes on a master branch and we have the dev branch. And why do we actually have it? And we didn't have a slide on clarifying that. But what we want to do is that we release PnP in a monthly basis. So we do have a specific master merge on every single month. And we want to make sure that the development is isolated to a dev branch. And this is especially important in a PowerShell or in a core component or, let's say, reusable frameworks side, because we want to make sure that if somebody is submitting a pull request and it is getting tested and all of that, it's still further tested before it's actually merged and submit as a updated NuGet package, as an example. Mm-hmm. And that's really the reason why we want to make sure that all the submissions are coming to dev branch, and then we do have a monthly process of getting them merged to the master branch, which is then the version which will be packaged as a NuGet package, for example, for core component perspective. And it also helps us on communications. So we want to do a monthly communications, what has happened within the PnP. If we would just accept random submissions across to the master, we wouldn't be able to actually collect that feedback that easily as a feedback or readme notes for every single release.
Yep, correct. It would be there would be too much flux in the environment because we have daily changes.
Yeah.
Yes. So when you created your pull requests, we've seen some people thinking like, okay, pull request is created. I can then simply drop my branch, and that's a bad thing to do. Why is that a bad thing to do? Because a pull request is like just a record in a database from GitHub saying like, compare this timer job fixed branch with this dev branch. And it will do the comparison at the moment that we process the pull request. At that point, we will take the actual changes and deal with them, which means that if you delete your branch before we process the pull request, we simply can't process the pull request anymore because your changes are gone. So best practice, do not delete your branch before the pull request was processed. And second best practice, very important as well, is like if you created your pull request and you want to do additional changes, something new, just create a new branch, add the code in there, and create a new pull request. So you can have tens of branches with all of them having an open pull request. That's perfectly fine. But please do not mix different fixes, different changes into one big pull request, because it gets very hard for us to process those guys.
True. And you can absolutely have multiple commits in a single pull request,
yes,
as long as they're
absolutely
isolated on a one particular functionality. But then we've seen some of the pull requests which have fixes, new stuff to multiple things and multiple new samples, and then fix stuff to a completely another topic. It's extremely hard to process that. Rather than having for example, three different pull requests then, which are isolated on specific functionality. Absolutely.
Let's do some demo. Been
talking,
slides. Now let's do something else.
I think it's a good set of slides, but it's good to see in practice as well. What does it actually mean?
Let's practice. So I'm doing a demo in one of my dev machines. Let's go to GitHub. So first of all, everyone can create a free account in GitHub. If you don't have an account, just click on sign up here and you can create your account. In this case, I'm going to sign in with an already created account. I named Office Dev PnP with a password, so hit sign in. And by default, you end up in your empty GitHub start page. Now, since in this demo, I want to show how to create a pull request, which if you saw the slides, means that we first need to start with creating a fork. So how do we do that? A good way to start is going to the Office Dev organization. So in GitHub, you can have an organization. An organization can have repositories. So in this case, we have the Microsoft Office Developer organization. And if you type in here PNP, you will get a nice view on all the PNP repositories that we have. And suppose you want to contribute to the PNP repository, you click on this guy, and you go to the fork option. Click on fork. One click, and it takes a few seconds, not that long, and at this point the fork has been created. Now we have a PNP repository inside my account.
It's pretty confusing actually that the account name is so close,
yeah,
but that's fine.
It's indeed, it's that's right. It's, you see the icon, it's in the PNP account.
Yes.
Okay, so we created the fork, and in your case it would show like my name slash PNP, right? Vesa slash PNP or bro slash PNP, whatever that you named your account. I need happen to name it Office Dev PNP. Our next step is first taking a clone of the repository. So for that, I copy the address of the repository. Then I will do things in PowerShell. So let's create a folder. Let's call it git demo, cd git demo. And let's do a git clone. And we type the address and we give it a name. Now, since this is a fork repository, I usually follow a convention where I take my account name, Office Dev PNP underscore, and then I take the actual repository name. Just a convention, but it makes easy for you to, if you have different accounts, to distinguish what's what.
So it would be Vesa underscore PNP or Kurt underscore PNP in a normal accounts, absolutely.
Absolutely. So now it's pulling down all the GitHub changes, and it's pretty fast. Like it pulled down 160 megabyte already. So one was there. Checking out the files, and then we have our local copy of our forked repository.
So Bert, doesn't this mean that we have kind of, in you might logically thinking that no, at this point we have kind of three copies. We have the original copy, we have the one which is in your fork, and then one which you actually pulled down.
That's true. So you have the main server side, the main PNP repository, then you have your fork, which is a copy of that main repository on the server. And now we pulled it down, so we have a local copy of your fork repository on the server. So we have indeed three repositories. As the next step, we're going to connect your fork repository with the main PNP repository, which you do via adding a remote. So adding a remote is done via git remote add. In this case, we specify minus try because we want to follow the changes in that remote. We want to follow the changes for the dev branch, and we call our remote upstream. So upstream is just a convention that many people use in the Git world. You could call it also, give it any name that you want, but upstream is a common name for this one. And then you give it the address of the upstream repository, which is the main PNP repository. Oh yeah, I first, of course, you can only do this when you are into the actual repository directory. So I'm gonna jump into this guy, Office Dev PNP, and hit it again.
Oh, you used ls, not dir.
Yeah, it's a bad habit, that still sticks. So we added the remote. Let's do a fetch upstream, which is kind of telling the local repository what's out there in the remote, so that we understand what we have available in the remote. Next step is checking out the dev branch from the remote. So we get our dev branch connected to the upstream dev branch. And finally, we can do a git pull. But normally we should be already good. Things should be up to date. Yep.
And that's because we just pulled it down.
Because we just, but it, yeah, even in the meanwhile, someone did a change. We see the change coming in right now.
Yeah.
All right. At this point, you're all set. You might start hacking, but keep in mind, best practice is don't hack on the dev branch. Hack on your custom branch. So let's make a custom branch. Git checkout. Minus B from branch. Let's call this guy Vesa Helps. No. Demo.
Hey.
And we start from the dev branch. All right. Now, final step is pushing this dev branch to the server so it is available in the server side. So we do it via git push. We tell it to explicitly set the upstream. We push it to our forked repository. So the remote copy, we call it upstream. Your actual copy, your forked repository, always is named origin. So origin, and then we give it the branch name, demo, like this. And now we should be all set up to make changes. Now I need to authenticate. So office dev PMP was my account name, my password. And there is a way to persist this data so you don't have to enter your credentials each time again. But now we're ready to go, all set up, which means that we can just go to the folder. Let's refresh this one. We have a git demo of the PNP. Let's take an arbitrary sample. Let's take core F script part. Let's open the solution.
That's a great sample, by the
way. Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty old already, but
it's still very relevant.
Yes, indeed.
Now, just on a side note, when you pull down the Git repository, it only pulls down information that really isn't there. Like we don't store all the NuGet packages, all the build dependencies in Git. So if you do a build, build solution, you'll see that we'll pull down the necessary NuGet packages, all the dependencies at that point. Now, let's do a quick small change just to illustrate the purpose. Let's say like PNP is great, some promotion. It is great. That's about
absolutely
that. So you see in Visual Studio, if I zoom in, that it nicely marks this file has changed. It also changed the project file due to some updates. Essentially, what I then do is right-click the solution, say commit. It again shows which are the change files. I can add a nice message like a demo commit. Hit commit, and now the commit is saved. The commit is saved though locally only, so it's in your local copy of the repository. In order to make a pull request, you have to push this commit to the server. Two ways to
which
do
is
it.
By the way, quickly on this one. This is actually a good one because now you can actually do development in offline mode as well.
Absolutely. So, yep. It's very, very well suited for offline development. It's a big comparison. Compared to TFS, it's better for offline development.
Yeah.
Now, to push the commit to the server, you can either use the Visual Studio support. So if you click on the home, you go to your Team Explorer and there's a sync button. And if everything went well, we see our commit over here, and I can click the push button. So if you are a Visual Studio guy, that's the way to do it. I will show you another approach in this command line. So if we go back to our PowerShell session, I can do a git push origin over here, hit enter. And this time, I again have to give my credentials since I didn't persist them. Boom, that's done. Let's push to the server. Now let's see if our server got something, if it received our changes. So I'm going to refresh this page. And if everything went well, we see our branch. And yes, we do. We see our demo branch over here. I just select the demo branch. You see that we did our demo commit. It's popping up here as well. And we see the big green button, new pull request. So let's hit that guy. And by default, GitHub will offer you a comparison between OfficeDevPNP master with OfficeDevPNP/PNP demo. And I agree, it's confusing naming, but the right side is the fork. The left side is the actual PNP repository. Now, master is not recommended, not even, well, we do only accept a pull request on dev. So what you do is simply change this to dev. At that point, GitHub site will create a new comparison against the dev and the demo branch. And you can scroll down, you see the commits. You can have multiple. In this case, we have only one commit. You can see the changes that are in there. So you have two file changes, one done by Visual Studio automatically and one that we added, the PNP is great message. Give it a descriptive message. Please, if you have a complex pull request or a complex fix, either tie it to the actual issue in the issue list or provide a detailed description of what you did. That really helps us process your pull request more quickly.
And also helping us to write that README file for the monthly releases, because otherwise we would have to go through all of the changed files, and that's really time consuming. And we would rather use that time for being productive on other stuff.
Yeah. All right. So in this case, it's not a super detailed description, but you get the point. Once you're ready, you create the pull request by clicking on the button. And that's it. Your pull request ends up in the main repository. And within a few seconds, you see if this is your first pull request, you will see our autobot popping up and saying like, oh, you need to sign your contributor license agreement. So for any Microsoft open source community project, for any submission, we require you to sign a CLA, a contributor license agreement. It's a one-time signature that we need from you. This is a fairly simple process. If you go to this site, it leads you through the necessary steps to do it. But without that signature, we're not able to process your pull request. So, and again, it's a one-time thing. If you do it once, all the future pull requests are fine. But essentially, now you created your pull request. It's in the queue from the PNP core team. So we will have a look at your pull request. We'll give you feedback, work with you to do if there are questions, we'll work with you to get things clarified. And then eventually we will merge the pull request. After we merge it, the pull request automatically goes to a merge state and your changes end up in the main PNP repository and are at that point visible for the whole community.
I think then on top of that, you'll get credited in the monthly communications for the commitments and your contributions for the community.
Yes. So with that, we will flip back to slides. So we have the demo. I think to wrap up, we have additional guidance in our PNP wiki, which you can find at this link. The guidance is maybe slightly outdated compared to the slides you saw before, so we will update the guidance to be more in line with the slides.
But at least at the time as this was recorded. So it depends on when you are viewing the video.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think with that, we can wrap up the session. Thanks for attending. I hope it was useful. And Vesa, look.
Thank you. Thank you for attending. And thank you for updating the copyright.
We're in the year 2016.
Yeah. I'm pretty pain. Well, not going to use dirty words on that one, but I'm typically consider making sure that everybody is up to date on the years and all of that. So. But anyway, thank you for everybody for joining. Hopefully that's useful. And I think this is, when you think of it, this is actually showing the basic setup of GitHub, not only within the Office Dev PNP. It's general how the GitHub actually works. The general GitHub repos, they might or might not have the dev branch and a master branch process. That's the only exception in the other GitHub repositories out there. So a great demo, I think, which will be beneficial for anybody who's watching this.
Yep. All right. See you later, guys.
Cheers. Bye-bye.